Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church outdoor service for July 18th, and it's once again so good to see you. I have some good news and some bad news. First of all, the bad news. Many of you are not keeping your 2-meter distance. That's the bad news, so I'm scolding you. Now, I know family groups are sitting together, that's okay, but others of you are not keeping in mind that 2-meter distance. So that's the bad news. The good news is, with the improved protocols and things that have happened, I'm allowed to tell you that once you're seated and stationary, stay put, you can take your masks off. Once you get up, because we're a large crowd, again, once you get up, please put the mask back on, okay? In my phone calls, I'm hearing from many of you that you've already achieved that fully vaccinated status, which I have as well. It's been well over 2 weeks already since Renata and I got that. And that's a, how should I say, insurance to not become more ill should we catch the virus, which can still happen. So we take that precaution seriously. You may have heard in different parts of the world, third, fourth waves are hitting different countries, and it is becoming severe again in other places. We don't want that to happen here, right? So we will be cautious. And again, as you're comfortable, the mask off, and I see most of you already have. If you're not comfortable, keep it on. Once you get out of your chair, I'll say it again. Once you get out of your chair, put the mask back on as you go to your vehicle, okay? Appreciate that. And good news, bad news, and let's all be safe to ensure that others around us are also safe, and we take precautions to protect others. As the pandemic loosens its grip, we as a church have opportunity to realign our mission of being Christian community for individuals, families, and those all around us. And so we are beginning a new worship series this morning, focused on the theme, Bags Packed, Ready to Go. And I don't mind saying, when we first started talking about this series, it was bags packed and nowhere to go. That was back in April when we started talking about this, because there was nowhere for us to go. But these days, we are feeling like there is somewhere to go. And for us as a faith community, both physically and spiritually, I hope you are ready to get going again. Later, Pastor Nick will be sharing the message, Bags Packed, Ready to Go, based on Hebrews chapter 12. Once again, indoor worship for our in-person worship services. We'll be continuing meeting here outdoors, anticipating this sharing over the summer months. If there is inclement weather, we will move into the gym, again with seated distantly. And for those who may need, if that should happen, the front door and elevator will be available for access there. So please keep that in mind. And we are still having instrumental music and asking you to not be singing. Trudy's nodding her head.
That's what Ziggy said.
That's what we're being told. We're paying attention to public health. Ziggy. It's not Ziggy. I know it's not you. But you're the conduit of information for us, and that's much appreciated. This week is a very special week here at the church, and Vacation Bible Camp begins tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Just checking, when are the volunteers meeting? You're meeting early tomorrow morning? 8:30 for those who are giving leadership. And just a reminder, if you've not registered as a leader volunteer, and if your children have not registered, it's not that we don't love you. It's that we are being cautious and limiting registration, which I believe is capped already. Quite excited to share the theme, Rocky Railroad. And we're asking for your prayers for this coming week for both the children and the volunteers, the opportunity to learn about God's love for us through all of life's ups and downs. And certainly we've experienced up and downs in the last while. So we look forward to sharing that theme of God's love with children in the coming week. Any questions, contact our youth worker, Taya Himes, or Marion Reimer-Friesen. Trust that also that you're able to enjoy opportunities over the summer. Fresh fruits, vegetables are certainly getting underway, and also times of sharing as family and friends as, again, we reconnect and be part of community again. There are some other announcements in our online bulletin, or if you receive that by snail mail, that will be forthcoming. For our call to worship this morning, I'll be reading from Psalm 34. The psalm begins with a deep appreciation for what the Lord has done. This appreciation is evident in the second half of the reading, in that through tough times, the Lord has answered prayers, given relief, given protection from various situations of trouble that arise. Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glorify the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers him. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, we've been through some tough times. Not only has the pandemic caused hardship of many kinds, but we've had to navigate life's trials and challenges while limited in our ability to support and care for one another as we would like to. As the pandemic loosens its grip, help us, O God, to renew our love for you and for one another. In the name of Jesus, who came to rescue us from danger, who came to give us new life. We ask that you guide our thoughts and reflections for the living of these days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Trudy has some music for us. Please.
As the deer longs for the water, many of us have experienced that longing for a cold drink this summer, as it's been very hot and humid. But that's also how God wants our souls to be longing for a deeper relationship with him. So think about that during the song, As the Deer Pants for the Water, which will lead into Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And maybe we can try and block out the stuff that we brought this morning from last week and try not to think too hard about what's coming, okay? Let's put our trust in him and really focus on Christ this morning.
Thank you.
As you entered in the bit of the check-in station there, there is also the donation box, and certainly appreciate your financial support for the ministries of the church. As even during these times, those financial needs continue, and we also seek to be a missional support to causes beyond the church, and so we thank you for that support. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, here in this place, we acknowledge your presence, even as you are with us at all times. As followers of Jesus, we're conscious, like your first disciples, that you are always with us, even when we don't recognize you among us, or when we fail to hear your voice. Forgive us when we fail to hear your word of warning or miss out on your guidance. As we anticipate opportunities of meeting together, of being able to face one another, of joining together in worship, may we also find new ways of serving you in the name of Christ. While we find our place in community once again, may our actions and words align with your love and compassion, so that we and those we share with will be ready for your coming. This morning, as we think of events happening around us, we pray for the community of Barrie, having experienced the tornado, the land we live in, deeply in need of healing of past wrongs. We are aware of the effects of climate change, the flooding in Europe, the drought in the prairies, wildfires in the west, melting glaciers in the polar regions. While these things seem to be far away, they do have effect on how we live. And may how we live be changed to adapt, to care for the earth, to care for your creation. In the midst of this, O God, we pray for this coming week, for the Vacation Bible Camp. Give wisdom to the leaders who share good news of your love and care for us through Jesus. We pray for the children as they gather in eager anticipation, hearing the word and incorporating into their lives the sense of Jesus as not only one who guides through life, but also who rescues and saves us, both in this life and for eternity. May our worship and work be focused on assurance of hope because of your promise to save all who call upon your name. And for these things, we give you thanks and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The next Trudy? Song is an African-American spiritual called Guide My Feet. Some of you might recognize it. I'll just quickly share some of the words with you. Guide my feet while I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain. Hold my hand. Stand by me. I'm your child. Search my heart. While I run this race, for I don't want to run this race in vain.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see so many of you. Good to be outside and to be together again. Today's scripture reading is taken from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endures the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and not lose heart. Thus the reading of the Lord.
Good morning again. Pleased to report that I finally completed the challenge. Paul Adams' challenge to run 10 kilometers in a go. I did this a few weeks ago with a time of just under an hour, which isn't particularly great as a pace if you're familiar with that sort of thing, but I was pushing our three-year-old in a jogging stroller the whole way, so I thought that wasn't too bad. Sure, not so much as a matter of pride or accomplishment, but something I think I would have considered unfinished business if I never got around to doing it. Would you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've often shared about my outdoor adventures and misadventures as well, and occasionally about how I've tried to adapt those to include Megan and our daughters. This story I'm going to tell falls along those lines. It took place a couple summers back. At the time, I was trying to cycle the entirety of the Greenbelt route, a 475-kilometer stretch of roadway and paths from Queenston Heights, just down the highway here to Coburn. I was doing this section by section. And my approach to these things since having children has been, if I can take them with, I'll take them with. Our oldest daughter at the time was just big enough to ride safely in a bike trailer we had recently been given. And I had a nearby section in mind and I planned to tow her behind me. Now, as I've shared before, I tend to be a bit overambitious and underprepared when it comes to some of these things. So I thought it wouldn't be a problem. We'd be close to Hamilton and the distance was doable. Given the time we had, I thought, all good. Megan, as she often has, attempted to be the voice of reason in the situation and asked all of the important questions. You sure you want to do this? Will you be riding along busy highways? Isn't it too hot? I shrugged it all off, excited and self-assured by what I thought I was capable of. It's nothing, I said. Enjoy the time alone. I will be fine. To which she said, as she so often has, famous last words. Today, as we've heard, we're starting a new sermon series titled Bags Packed, Ready to Go. This is a series that was planned and prepared by Pastor Randy. And it will be reflecting, as we've heard, on this particular time that we find ourselves in right now. With reopening continuing and the pandemic slowly coming to what we hope will be something of a close. There's a sense of expectancy and excitement about what might come next in our worlds. There's a sense of relief with the return to so many activities. For many of us, though, there's also a lingering feeling of anxiousness. We've lived in this state of radical flux, radical uncertainty for many, many months now and carry that residually as we head forward. There are still risks that we need to be careful about. We'll still be dealing with differences and difficult choices for some time to come. And so as we've sought to throughout this tumultuous time, we continue to look to Jesus for guidance. We continue to seek Jesus in order that we might align our lives to his will in the days and months to come. What we'll be exploring today is something a bit different, and that's how Jesus is, in Pastor Randy's words as you prepared them, more than a moral compass. Jesus is more than just a moral compass. And I'll be considering why that might be particularly important for us to remember in this season that we find ourselves in. I'll be reflecting on what it might mean to look to Jesus as not just Lord, but also Savior in this time. My ride started out just fine. I packed up the car and headed up the mountain, as we Hamiltonians call it, and drove to the northeast end of the city. I parked in a hotel lot and crossed my fingers that I wouldn't get ticketed or towed, and assembled the trailer and hitched it to my bicycle. I then placed our infant child in. Our oldest daughter is typically quite content with these sorts of things, but I made sure to pile in all the essentials just in case: water, snacks, books, and preferred stuffed animals. Then we rode off. It was warm, but as long as we were moving, we made a breeze for ourselves, and it wasn't so bad. We put in a good number of kilometers and approached the escarpments. I was really looking forward to this part because it's a really scenic section. You might know the route, and offers a beautiful view of the lower city and the lake. And then it happens. I felt my pedals jam and heard a loud clunk, and we skidded awkwardly to a stop. Oh no, I thought. I dismounted and dragged everything 100 meters or so to a place where it was safe to stand and take a bit of a closer look. My rear wheel had been yanked crooked and bent out of shape in the process from the back and forth pull of the bike trailer. I should mention at this point that my bike is at least 40 years old, maybe older, not sure, because it's the only one I could find used that had a frame large enough for these legs. That being the case, it apparently couldn't handle the loads. I might have had a vice grip or a wrench with me, I can't remember, but regardless, I just couldn't repair it, and so I was stuck. A couple vehicles drove by. Both drivers very kindly stopped and asked if I needed help. I said no both times, because I'm a man, and why would I do that? Instead, I called, you guessed it, my wife. I could hear her rolling her eyes as I sheepishly explained my situation. But she, as you know, is kind and endlessly gracious and agreed to come and rescue me. Now, I thought I was well prepared for this trip. I was convinced we had everything we needed. I had my phone, which gave me access to maps, a GPS, and even a compass. I had even printed off a hard copy of the map in case my battery ran low or my phone died. But that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And that's the sense I'll be exploring today when it comes to the way that we look to Jesus. Jesus provides us directions for life. He gives us a roadmap and leads us along that journey. But there will be inevitably times when that on its own simply isn't enough. As followers of Jesus, there'll be points in our lives when, despite knowing the way we want to go and trying our very hardest to get there, we'll end up in the ditch and find ourselves making a call for help. It's in those times when we can come to see Jesus not only as our guide for living, but also as our Savior. Our text for this morning, as we've heard, comes from the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews, as you're likely aware, and as the name itself suggests, was written to Jewish readers, many of whom were wrestling with how to reconcile their spiritual and cultural background with their newfound belief in Jesus. The letter of Hebrews can be seen to consist of two sections. In the first, the writer presents this series of lofty and exalted descriptions of Jesus, who Jesus is as God's Messiah. And in the section where today's reading comes from, the writer lays out what that means for people in terms of their life and practice. With many in that community falling away from the faith, he especially stresses spiritual endurance and commitments. Jesus is described in a number of different ways in this passage that we're focusing on this morning. He's said to be someone who stands in front of us and ahead of us in the great race of life, like a running partner or a pacer or somebody who waits and waves at us from the finish line. Using that imagery, the writer challenges us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, as we heard so beautifully in that song. To do so as we stride along from day to day and month to month and year to year. In that way, we're told that we'll be able to keep on track and keep going, especially through those difficult stretches of life and in those times when we're just tired or tempted to quit. This is Jesus as the moral compass, as Pastor Andy described in preparation for the series. This is Jesus as Lord. This is the Jesus whom we look to in order to move ahead in the right direction and persevere there in over the long distance. And that truly is who Jesus is. And we can and should look to him in that way. But the writer of Hebrews describes Jesus in other terms as well. Jesus, we read there, is also the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Here we begin to see him in a different light, in other lights. We see this other side of who he is as Christ. Jesus is not only a coach. He's more than a spiritual guide and more than just an ethical advisor. Jesus is more than someone who just offers us directions about how we should live. Jesus is the very one who sets us out on that journey to begin with, the one who ensures we'll cross the finish line. He's the God who began a good work in us and will see it through to completion, as Paul wrote to the Philippians. Jesus is more than just a moral compass. He's our Savior. Having called Megan, I walked my bike, trailer, and small family member a ways up the road, backtracking to a Ball Diamonds I had passed on our way out. By this point, both me and my daughter were soaking wet with sweat and worn out. I propped my broken heap of rubber and steel up against the chain link fence, and we sat in the shade on the empty bleachers waiting. The writer of Hebrews tells his readers to consider Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He says that in this way they will not grow weary or lose hearts. If Jesus were only an instruction giver sent to us by God, he wouldn't have had to suffer crucifixion, and we most certainly would have become weary and lose hearts. If Megan was only someone who handed me supplies and gave me advice before heading out, I would have truly despaired and been lost that day. But we have hope because Jesus is more than that. Jesus is our Savior. This is the difference between Jesus bringing good advice and Jesus bringing good news, as I've shared before. Now, we can end up abusing this grace as well. If I refuse to get my bike fixed after this incident, or this is something that kept happening every single weekend, I'm sure Megan would start to have a serious problem with it, and maybe with me as well. Likewise, if we disregard warnings and fail to learn our lesson when it comes to our faith. God is merciful and long-suffering, but that sort of thing just doesn't honor the relationship, which is meant to be built on love. The section of scripture following this, you might remember, is regarding God's discipline. That said, I don't think that's necessarily the problem that most of us have and the thing that most of us need to hear from this text. I wonder, again, if the thing that most of us need to hear from this text is that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is not just someone who hands us the Google Maps printout for our life, wishes us good luck, and then waves at us as we go. No, Jesus is determined to see us through the journey. He's with us at the beginning. He'll be with us at the end, and he comes to be with us in between. He'll answer us and assist us when we make a blunder or when things just break down. As we enter into this next season, there are a lot of questions and a lot of things that remain unknown. As we have for this past year and a half plus now, we seek to follow Jesus. We look to Christ for how we ought to live and what we ought to do. And that's important. But it's also important that we look to Jesus as Savior, as the one who delivers, redeems, and forgives us. Because there have been times, and there will be plenty more, when despite all our best attempts to keep on the route and keep going, we'll find ourselves standing on the unpaved shoulder of the highway. Maybe because of our own ignorance and wrongdoing, or maybe just because of circumstances that are out of our control. Whatever it is, we can know that Jesus will respond to our spiritual distress call, come to pick us up and help pick up the pieces of our mess. Doesn't necessarily spare us from the consequences of our actions, at least it doesn't in this lifetime, or mean that we won't find ourselves in a similar place in the future, but it allows us to keep going, to continue on in life. It allows us to take risks, set out on new adventures, and explore the undiscovered, which is important because for some of us, there might be a deep fear of those sorts of things. We're overwhelmed by the sense of uncertainty and by potential dangers. So much of what we know of faith is do's and do nots and do betters. And so we worry about getting it wrong or getting into trouble. We stay close to home. We stick with security. We do what we've always done. Knowing that Jesus will not leave us stranded lets us take risks in following him. Knowing that Jesus won't leave us abandoned by the roadside allows us to go out into new and unfamiliar places. It lets us try, even if our best laid plans might flop or fail. It allows us to pedal out in faith and travel to new places in life. My daughter and I waited as patiently as we could at that park. We found some more shade and ate some more snacks. Megan had a long way to come to get us. Because I had taken our only vehicle and few of our friends at that time had one we could borrow, she needed to take a cab all the way to the other side of the city. Did I mention she's kind and gracious? As more and more time passed, I got restless. Did I mention I was a man? It was late afternoon by this point and not as hot as it was earlier, so I decided I would keep walking towards where I had left the car. So I trudged along in the dusty gravel once again, hauling everything behind me. Eventually, I got the call from Megan that she was at the car, and eventually, after telling her where we were, she pulled up next to us. I loaded my mangled bicycle on the rack and loaded our tired daughter inside the car. And as we drove home, I listened to all the well-deserved I told you so's. Eventually, those turned into shared laughter and shared I love you's. That's how it is. And I wonder if that's something like how it is with God as well. Consider the lengths that Jesus went to in order to save you, the author of Hebrews writes. Never mind the inconvenience and cost of a 25-minute taxi ride across town. Jesus journeyed from the heavenly realms to the earth. Jesus walked from Jerusalem to Golgotha, enduring the cross and all of its suffering and shame. Consider the one who would go to such great lengths to come and get you so that you could come back and come home to God. Consider that so that you might have the courage to venture out in faith again, so that you might have the strength of spirit to press on in these days. Amen. I invite Trudy up once again.
Thank you, Pastor Nick. I think your message spoke to everybody here and those listening in other places. We can all relate to much of that. Thanks for sharing so personally as well, Nick. I'm pressing on the upward way. Ties in with Nick's sermon today. Hum along if you like.
Thank you again for joining us today. As we close our time now, we seek God's blessing both on these next days and on the offerings that have been given. I share these words of benediction adapted from Paul's to the letter to the Philippians. As we go from this place, may we press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. We've not yet taken hold of it, but this one thing we do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, we press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenwards in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ's name that we go. Amen.